of James. I like this guy. I like the way he thinks. I like the way he writes. The author of the book of James was actually, I don't know how you'd say this, I've never been comfortable saying it this way, but let's just say it this way. He was a sibling of Jesus Christ. They had the same mother, they just didn't have the same daddy. Amen. Because Jesus, his father was God. James's father was Joseph. But they both were born to Mary. And so he grew up in the house with a perfect brother. I mean a perfect brother. Anybody here grow up with a perfect sibling? One thought they were? You remember how hard that is? Being around somebody that thinks they're perfect? Well, how would you like to be around somebody that really was? It wasn't easy, I promise you. He never did anything wrong, ever. So, anyway, James was a brother of Jesus Christ. And I want to read from the second chapter, beginning with verse number 14. Be a little bit of a lengthy reading, but maybe we can make it. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Interesting question. According to many today, that's all you got to have. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, why doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So my subject tonight is this, practical faith. Everybody say practical faith. Not blab it, grab it faith, but practical faith. Not sloppy agape faith, but practical faith. Rubber meets the road faith. Faith that you can live by. Faith that'll keep you when the storm's raging. Faith that'll keep you when there's trouble on every hand. Faith that'll keep you when everything else is shaking like an earthquake. But you got a foundation that'll stand true. That's the kind of faith we're talking about here tonight. I want to talk to you for the next little bit about practical faith. You know what the word practical means? Something you can practice or something you can do. There are some things that are not practical. You can't really do them. They sound good, but you can't do them. But practical faith is something you can do. It's something you can practice. It's something you can live. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. God bless you, and you may be seated. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. Many of us know this verse. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I love to read that verse, and I love to say that, but I don't know that I've ever really understood it. Not as much as I'd like to anyway. I do understand this. I do understand that faith is the substance. What is substance? Substance is something you can hold, are something you can see. Substance is something that convinces you. And that's the part of faith that we get a hold of until the answer comes. There was a man that I read about that needed a bicycle to do missionary work. And he told his friends that God was going to give him a bicycle. And of course, being a very poor man in a very poor country, they laughed and said, "How's that going to happen?" He said, "Well, God's just going to give me the bicycle." And they said, "Well, we don't see any bicycle." He said, "Well, you will." He said, "When a woman's expecting a baby, you don't see a baby either until it's born." And so they laughed at him and said he was expecting a bicycle. And he was. And you know what? One day he was walking past this house where these people were moving, getting ready to come back to the United States. They were packing their truck, and they got everything in there except for their bicycle. And there's no room for it. And so he was passing by, and they called him over, and they said, "Would you like to have this bicycle?" And sure enough, when he went to see his friends, here he comes riding on his bicycle, saying, "I told you so." God was going to give me a bicycle, and he did. You see, that was a practical faith. It was something that he really needed to get the work done. Amen. And God provided that for him. So he had some substance. He had this hope. He had this conviction that he was going to receive what he asked for, and God did provide for him. And so faith then is a substance. It's what you can hold on to until what that you prayed for comes absolutely to fruition and to pass. Amen. So where does faith come from? Where does it begin? The Bible said that faith begins with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is such an important verse because that's where faith starts. We have to believe that. Now, there's a reason that the evolution theory has been promoted so strongly in our society, because if the devil can destroy faith in that one verse that God is the creator, if he can destroy that one verse, then he can shake people's faith in the rest of the scriptures. There has never been a lie that has been promoted like that lie, because they want you to find any explanation for the creation that you want to believe. You can believe anything except you're considered to be ignorant, uneducated, and foolish if you believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, like the Bible said he did. But as far as I'm concerned, if I'm going to believe in God, I might as well believe in a big God. And if I'm going to believe anything in his book, I might as well believe everything in his book. And I might as well believe where he starts in his book, I believe all the way to the end of the book. And so it is vital and important that we understand that everything began with God. That's how it started. Now, you go back further than that, you'll blow a fuse. You can't get back any further than God. You can't figure out where God came from. How do you believe in God? By faith. Amen. We have to accept it by faith. I think there's a lot of evidence for a creator. Reason tells me there's a creator. Order tells me there's a creator. Everything about the creation tells me there's a creator. But nonetheless, I have to take it by faith. Amen. In the beginning, and then there comes fellowship. Amen. God is tangible. You can feel the presence of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can feel the presence of God. Now, he is not visible to us, though he may appear in any form that he chooses to reveal himself through. But normally, God reveals himself to us by his presence. We call that today the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm talking about tonight. Praise the Lord. I can feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you come way too late to tell me it's not real. Amen. I read about a little boy that was flying a kite. It was a cloudy day. And he was flying this kite. It was so high, it was up in the clouds. You couldn't even see it. And a man came by and said, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "I'm flying my kite." He said, "I don't see any kite." "How do you know there's a kite up there?" He said, "You don't have a hold of the string. I can feel it tugging on the other end." Amen. And I can feel God tugging on the other end. So I know he's there. Amen. If you can't feel him tugging, I'm sorry, but I can. Amen. I know he's there. Praise the Lord. We've been down this road a long time together. And I know that he is real. So very real in my life tonight. So we begin with God. That's where faith all happens. There's a beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 6, or chapter 11, I'm sorry. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Some of you might be familiar with. It said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," that is God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." First of all, we must believe that there is God. How can you come to God if you don't believe in God? So that's the first requirement. We must believe that God is, that he exists. And secondarily, it is important that we believe that he's a rewarder, or gives reward to those that diligently, but say diligently, not haphazardly, not unfaithfully, but diligently, seek him. Seek him wholeheartedly. Seek him sincerely. And the Bible said you will find him. James said it this way. He said, "Draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you." Or, "Draw near unto him, and he will draw near unto you." Has anybody found that to be true? The witnesses here tonight, that's happened to you. Amen. I have drawn near to the Lord. He draws near to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God is a rewarder of them that diligently him. Amen. So faith in it all begins with God. Abraham, in the Old Testament, before he was called Abraham, he was called Abram, and he was called out. And the thing that made Abraham the father of the faithful that James refers to in these verses we read tonight is the fact that Abraham lived in the middle of people that worshipped visible idols. But he worshipped an invisible God. He worshipped a God that you cannot see with your eyes or hold in your hands. I think that's a good idea. I really would have a hard time, I think, worshiping a God. Carry him around and prop him up. Dust him every now and then. I wash him. Amen. I read about a man one time that he got converted and really believed in God, received the Holy Ghost. He went in his house and he had these idols, and he went in and he just got them all, took them out in his backyard, dug a hole, threw them in there, put gasoline on them, set them on fire. And his the former persuasion, and he come running over and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "These are your gods." And he said this, he said, "If they can't help themselves or save themselves, they sure can't save me." I think he had a point. If you've got a God that can't save himself, how in the world is he going to save you? Amen. And so, but there is a God. He's an invisible God. You cannot see him with your eyes at this point unless he takes on a visible form. But he exists. Amen. And we worship him and believe in him and receive from him by faith. The Bible said God is spirit. Spirit hath not flesh and blood. So, he is a spirit being, and so we believe in God. We must believe that he is, and that's where our faith starts. Then the Bible said faith comes by hearing. and hearing by the word of God. There's a word here in the book of Romans. If we quoted this Sunday night, but let's go there again. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" So you see the progression here. Faith comes by hearing. That's the 17th verse, by the way. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So it all starts with hearing, doesn't it? Amen. Now, a person may believe in God without somebody telling them. I think it's innate. I think it's just part of us that we believe that there's something higher, something better. We see in every culture, people worship something. People that have never had a Bible. People that have never heard a sermon on the God of the Bible or Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, they believe. They believe because there's something inside of them that lets them know that there's something bigger than me here. There's got to be a purpose to all this. There's a reason for all this. And it draws them and drives them. But when you hear about God and about Jesus Christ, amen, then that's how faith, saving faith, rises up in an individual's heart, is when they hear about the Lord. Amen. And so it's important then that we hear. Why did people come to Jesus in the New Testament? Because they heard about him. Why did lepers come to be cleansed? Because they heard about him. Why did the blind come to receive sight? Because they heard about him. Why did the deaf come to hear and the lame came to leap? Because somebody told them that Jesus could heal. Amen. Somebody told them that he could deliver and cast out demons. Somebody told them that he would forgive sins. And so they came to him. And they brought others to him. Heard. Amen. You know why I'm here tonight? Because I heard. Somebody told me, and I believed it. Praise the Lord. So what happened to you, Brother Neil? Somebody tell you? Amen. Your sister told you. Amen. And you didn't believe it, but you went and found out it was true anyhow, even if your sister did tell you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But still, I kind of feel like the Queen of Sheba, when she went to Solomon's kingdom, and she said, my, the half was not told me. Oh, you told me about him, but there's more to him than that. That's how we feel about the Lord tonight. Everything I've been told about him is good, but he's more. Hallelujah. Whatever you can say, he's more than that. That's just the way that he is. Amen. So our faith comes by hearing, and then we understand that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here's when we get to the practical side of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a book that lists a lot of heroes of the faith and gives them by name and by the things they did. I'd like to lift a few of those here tonight and show that they were rewarded. Amen. Noah built an ark, and because he built an ark, the Bible said, he was saved from the flood. He not only built it, he got in it. And he stayed in it. And that ark delivered him when the rest, while the rest of the world perished. And then Abraham offered up his son, just like the Lord asked him to do, or was ready to. In his heart he did. Amen. But God delivered his son, didn't he? Amen. And God established a nation called Israel through him. And God brought a Savior into the world by the name of Jesus Christ through the lineage of Abraham. And so because he did what the Lord said, he was rewarded for it. Amen. Moses was rewarded, wasn't he? The Lord told him to go and deliver his people. He went to Egypt, and God did what he said. My, what miracles God wrought through Moses because he obeyed the Lord, and my, what a reward he had. We see him in the Old Testament and all of the great things that God did for him, the way God backed him up. And then you see him in the New Testament, and he's standing on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so God rewarded his faith, didn't he? Just like he said he would do. Amen. God rewarded Joseph. You talk about a promotion. My, what a promotion. I think that's probably the biggest promotion except for resurrection. Here's a guy that his faith got him in trouble, and his dreams and his visions got him put in jail because of the jealousy and the hatred of his brethren. God saw his dilemma. Amen, Brother Neil, but that wasn't his destiny. Amen. So in one, just a few hours' time, God not only lifted Joseph out of prison, but he lifted him all the way up and set him on the throne of Egypt. You talk about a promotion from a prison cell. God knew where he was. And the next thing you know, he's riding around the king's chariot, taking care of the king's business. And people are bowing and scraping. He's wearing the finest garments, eating the finest food, living in the palace. That's how God promoted him. His faith was rewarded. Amen. So God does reward faith. If we believe him, he will reward us. Amen. Practical faith. But faith is demonstrated. James was trying to point out to us here tonight. His faith is demonstrated by his works. Now he declares this, so this is how it happens. How do faith and works go together? How do they go together? Well, you demonstrate your faith by your obedience. God said to Noah, he said, Noah, build an ark. Now, if he were like some people today, he'd just say, all right, God, I believe that. I'm gonna lay hold on that. I'm going to believe for an ark. But God said, build an ark. And he told him what to build it out of. And he told him what he had to do to get it built. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, it was hard to build an ark. It took some time to build an ark. Brother Wesley, he didn't have a sawzall. Yeah. Amen. He didn't have a table saw. He didn't have a drill, at least the kind we use. He didn't have any power tools. He had a regular old axe, and they chopped down trees, and then they sliced them and diced them the way they needed to be, it was all done by hand. It was hard work. Amen. But that was his faith, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. He obeyed what he said to do. And it was a big ark, too. He didn't build just some little boat. It wasn't one of those kind you can put in a bottle. It was a mighty ark. It was at least as long as 2 football fields. It was as wide as a football field. It was about 30 feet high. It had 3 layers. It was a massive structure. And so God said, God told him, and he demonstrated his faith by doing what God said. Abraham, when the Lord said, come out, go to a land that I will show you. He did that, didn't he? He left his homeland. He left his family. And he went out with God. And the Bible said that he sojourned. Amen. I love that verse that talks about Abraham. And the Bible said that he lived in tents. Because he was looking for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Babylon wasn't good enough. Nineveh wasn't good enough. None of the cities of his time were good enough, because he was looking for a city that God built. Hallelujah. These days, I'm going to see that city, and you're going to see that city, because the Bible said that New Jerusalem is going to come down from God out of heaven. Hallelujah. As a bride adorned, or as a bride adorned for the husband. And so that city is going to come down to the earth, and that's where we're going to live. Amen. Praise the Lord. A city four square, 1,500 miles cube. What a place that's going to be. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. One of these days, and it won't be long, I believe we're going to go there. So Abraham, he demonstrated his works by obeying God and doing what God said to do. Remember Jericho? Mighty walls. No way they could get inside the city. It was a very unconventional battle. God said, I want you to march around the walls. Well, what good is that going to do? Well, they did. The next morning he said, I want you to march around the walls. We did that yesterday, God. We're going to do it again today. You know what they did the third day? They marched around the walls. And the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. And the seventh day, God said, all right, we're going to really do good today. We're going to do it seven times. Amen. And so they marched around six times and nothing happened. Now the seventh time God said, now this time, he said, I want you to get a hold of every noisemaker you can find. I want you to beat things together. I want you to hop as loud as you can. I want to lift, and boy, I'm telling you what, people inside the city must have thought they had lost their minds. Amen. They've been laughing at them and making fun at them and probably throwing things at them for the last 6 days. But I'm telling you, when they lifted up their voice and with triumph and they blew the trumpets, something began to happen. The Bible said that the earth opened up and the walls fell down flat. It was, I'm not talking about fell over. They fell straight down. The earth just opened up. And it was just like they were not there. They went across into the city and conquered the city while people were still in shock. Amen. But you see, they just obeyed what God said. That's what we have to do, just obey. Sometimes we try to get our job and God's job a little bit mixed up. Do you remember when the Lord, well, at the wedding, the first miracle that Jesus did, according to John, they said, they have no wine. And Jesus said, well, what's that to me? In other words, he said, that's not my problem. He tells the servants, he said, just whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. So Jesus turns to the servants and he said, take these six water pots and go fill them with water. How many could fill up a water pot? Do that, couldn't we? That's not hard. I mean, because they had to draw it out of the well. Pour it in. They couldn't just turn on the spigot and let it go. They literally had to draw the water. It took some time to fill up about 125 to 150 gallons of water. That took some time. But when they finally got them filled, and I like this, I love it. The Bible says, and they filled them to the brim. These were not slackers. They weren't working half-heartedly. Whenever he said fill them up, buddy, they filled them up. And they brought them back to Jesus. Water. Water. And then he said, I want you to get a cup and take some water out, and I want you to take it to the governor of the feast. How many can cup? It's getting easier, you see. If you couldn't fill up a water pot, you can at least carry a cup. And so he said, just take it to him. Now, that's not hard. I'm sure, you know what the hard thing was? The hard thing was the doubt that they were dealing with. The hard thing was the fear they had to confront. Because they're carrying what they knew to be water to the governor of the feast, that he was expecting wine. Amen. But somewhere between the water pot and the lips of the governor, God said, I'm going to give you your reward now. And I don't know how God did it, but somehow he turned the water to wine. And when the governor tasted that cup, he said, well, he said, usually they serve the good stuff first, and then they just serve the bad stuff later when everybody's taste is kind of shot. He said, but you have saved the best wine until the last. And there's a little verse in there that I really love. It says, and he didn't know what happened, but the servants which drew the water knew. Hallelujah. It was their reward. They were sharing miracle. So here's the thing. Sometimes God wants us to do things, and he wants us to just tell somebody about him, and so he can save them. We're saying, but I can't save anybody. He didn't ask you to save anybody. He just said, tell them. Amen. Sometimes God will whisper and he'll say, why don't you go pray for them? And you know that they're real sick, and you can't heal them. And so you begin to, in your mind, think, well, I can't heal anybody. God knows that. He didn't ask you to heal them. He said, just go pray for them. But you see, if we will respond and do what he says, then he can give us the reward. Amen. But we express our faith by our obedience. Isn't that right? Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And then the 20th verse said, and they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So they preached, and the Lord said, hey, I'm going to back you up here. And that's what happened. So you see, that's the visible part of faith. That's what God does. You remember the Bible? I love this verse in the book of Mark. These fellow friend that was to Jesus, and when they got to the house where he was, it was so packed with people that nope, they couldn't get in. They couldn't make their way through. And so they climbed up on the roof of the house, and it had little tiles on the top, and they started removing those tiles until they made the shape at least big enough to let a man down on a little bed, a little pallet. I love this miracle, don't you? I like to visualize these things. I think it's fun. Can you imagine being in the house that day? You're in there, Jesus is teaching. Things are going real good. And all of a sudden you hear sounds like huge mice on the roof. Those are big rats. And all of a sudden, somebody, they start literally tearing the tiles off. You think, man, they're hungry. And all of a sudden, one of those tiles is moved back and a face appears. And he's looking down. He's like, what in the world? And they keep taking tiles off. And all of a sudden, here's this guy. They take ropes and they start letting him down. You think it had everybody's attention? Every eye in the room was fastened on that man. But here's what I want you to see. The Bible said, and Jesus, seeing their faith, not his faith, their faith. I don't know if he had any faith, but the men that brought him did have. They had so much faith that they were willing to climb up on a roof and tear the roof off enough that they could get him into the presence. That's how much faith they had. And it was visible. You know how it was visible? Because all the effort they put into doing that. And when the Bible said he saw their faith. Amen. Now, I've preached this before, but it's a wonderful thought, and it's a true thought. And that is that sometimes you and I struggle with our faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. But here's what's beautiful about the kingdom of God. When you're struggling with your faith, somebody's carrying you. Somebody's carrying you. Amen. When you're not strong, somebody's carrying you. Aren't you thankful for some carriers? That's why it's so important to be a part of a body. That's why it's so important to be a part of the church. Is when you can't make it yourself, you have someone that can carry you, and God sees their faith and responds to their faith. Hallelujah. Sometimes people come to the altar and they're in such despair. Amen. They need somebody, some faith to come over and pray with them. They don't have, you know what I'm talking about here tonight. They're struggling. They're just barely hanging on. But somebody that's got faith can come and pray for them. And we had an old time Pentecostal phrase we used to use. We can pray them through. And that's exactly what it means. It means you pray through doubt. You pray through fear. You pray through discouragement. You pray through anything that gets in your way until you get them in the presence of God and they get the victory that they need. Amen. And so faith was demonstrated. That's practical faith. It's demonstrated. They could see it. Amen. I like this one. Remember, you remember... Mama, how much this I'm going to be able to get into? But I love it. I like the Bible. Do you like the Bible? I just like it. Amen. I do. I like this story about this man. Jesus was walking with his disciples, and they saw this blind man, and they just were doing what they'd seen other people do. And so they said to Jesus, they said, see this blind man here, that he's sin, or does his parents sin that he's blind? Well, since when did blindness be the sin? But just, they were just repeating what they'd always heard. Why is it that we have to blame somebody for everything? I do remember a time when people used to have accidents. We don't have accidents anymore. They're not accidents anymore. Somebody has to pass. Somebody's fault. Heads are going to roll. Because we don't have accidents anymore. Unless it's me, then it's an accident, of course. You understand? Right? Yeah. If I'm making the judgment, it's one thing. But if you're making the judgment, something else. Amen. So, this man sitting there, and Jesus said, he said, neither this man nor his parents sin. Here's what he said. He said, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. That's what he said. Amen. Now, this is an interesting miracle. I'm telling you. This is an interesting. It's different. Real different. And Jesus went, spit on the ground, reached down and got that mud, smeared it on that guy's eyeball, and he said, now go wash. Well, I promise you, he's going to go wash. You get mud in your eyes, you're going to go wash. But you know, here's what's interesting. He's blind. How's he going to get to the pool? Somebody said, well, somebody must have led him. Maybe. Or maybe he just felt his way. Amen. But he went. And he washed. And the Bible said, and as soon as he washed, I just love to envision this, Brother Neil, as soon as he washed that out of his eyes, you know, the first thing he saw was his reflection in that pool. Hallelujah. And here's what I think is really interesting. When he got up, he had to kind of feel his way back. Because he'd never seen before. So he didn't know how to walk by sight. He's feeling his way back. Amen. So that's what a wall looks like. Amen. Here's the curve. Look at that. I stumbled that coming over. And he just feels his way back. Amen. It took him a few days to be able to walk by sight. Because he'd always had to walk by feel. But now he's in a brand new world.
And he's able to do things and see things. And it's amazing. He saw his parents. I always thought it was kind of sad that one of the first things he saw was hate. He saw hatred in the face of his accusers, the religious bigots of the day. Amen. But he took that all in stride. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord healed, you see. He had to demonstrate his faith, didn't he? If he didn't go wash, he wouldn't have come again seeing. But because he did what Jesus said, demonstrating his faith, he could see. Amen. So then faith is practical. Do you understand that? Faith is practical. This is not pie in the sky, by and by, but faith is practical. It's something we can live every day. We demonstrate our faith. Amen. The Bible says that the devil trembles, but he doesn't get anything from God because he doesn't demonstrate his faith. We demonstrate. I love this illustration he gives here. He said, you see somebody, and they're sitting there. It's cold outside, and they have on this little thin garment, and they're shaking. Their lips are turning blue, and they're shivering all over. And you can see they're miserable in the cold. And you walk by, and you say, God bless you, brother. Be warm in the name of Jesus. And then you walk away with your warm coat on. Did that help him? You got a lot of faith. But did it help him? No. Get him a coat. Demonstrate your faith. He said you walk by and somebody's hungry. Stomach's growling. Their cheeks are gaunt. Hey, man, you walk by. You see him hungry and you got a lot of faith. Oh, brother. God bless you. Fill you with steak and potatoes in Jesus' name. Yes, that's it, brother. And then you don't feed him. That do any good? Made you look real spiritual. But didn't do anything for that guy starving to death. He needed food, not religion. So he said, you demonstrate your faith by your works. Demonstrate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he said that's how we demonstrate our faith. You demonstrate that. I read about a guy one time that he bought a chainsaw. He went home and he tried to saw some wood. And he came back a little while. He had blisters on his hands and sweating all over. He said, man. He said, this thing's working me to death. He said, you can have it back. Give me my money. And the guy said, what's wrong with it? He said, I don't know. It just don't work. And he said, well, let me see. And he pulls the cord. Vroom, 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 vroom. And the guy starts running. He said, what in the world is that? He didn't realize you had to start it up, you see. He was working that thing, man. It wasn't doing any good at all. But some people's faith like that, you know. They start it up. And they never get the power of it. They never get it to working. Amen. And so we demonstrate our faith by works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we do. Now, close with saving faith. How do you demonstrate faith in salvation? I've heard people say that anything outside of just believing Jesus Christ is works. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. Yes, you believe. You cannot be saved without faith in Jesus Christ. You hear me? You cannot be saved without faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins. But how do you demonstrate your faith? How do you know you have faith? How do you show your faith? How does God see? Because you respond to the things He commands. You know the first message Jesus preached? Anybody know what it was? Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven at hand. Amen. Is repentance works? No. It's obedience. It's doing what Jesus said. What is repentance? It's turning from your sin to Jesus Christ. It's turning from your old life to His new life. It includes asking for forgiveness and forsaking sin. That's what repentance is. That's not works. That's obedience. Is that not right? And then baptism. Some people say, well, you know, if you got to be baptized in water, that's works. No, it's not. The Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he commanded, didn't he? Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the promise then, he said, you got to repent and you got to be baptized. Amen. And it follows all the way through the New Testament. In the book of Acts, every time somebody was saved, they repented. They were baptized in water, in the name of Jesus Christ, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So baptism then is obedience. It's just doing what God said. Amen. It's just doing what God said. Praise the Lord. And then he said, and to receive the Holy Ghost. What's the thing about the Holy Ghost? Amen. Brother Brandon, what would you say if I promised you $1 tonight? Would that be all right? You'd like that, huh? Amen. I would too. Anybody want to promise me one? Amen. Let me see if this works. Okay. Here's $1, Brother Brandon. This is a genuine $1 bill from the Federal Reserve, United States of America. It's really probably worth about 2 cents, but we call it $1. Amen. So if I wanted to give this to you, could you receive it? How would you receive it? You just take it? How do you know? Amen. If I just hand it out there, what are you going to do? Well, that's pretty easy, wasn't it? Amen. That's pretty easy. Amen. He just received it, you see. Is that easy? Amen. That's how you just get the Holy Ghost. You just received it. You can't beg for it. You can't earn it. You can't scream loud enough to get it. You can't do enough but double back flips. You can't gargle with peanut butter. Amen. Nothing's going to get you the Holy Ghost but just receiving it, brother. Just receive it. Amen. How do you receive it? Well, you just take the lid off. Quit doubting. Just receive it. Amen. Is that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. We make it hard. Because it requires faith. Brother Brandon, he didn't seem to have any faith I was going to give that to him. He just got out there and grabbed it. It wasn't a big deal, was it? I don't remember hearing him bleed. Anybody hear him beg? Plead? Didn't get red in the face? Spit on nobody? Nothing. He just reached out and got it. Amen. The Holy Ghost. We just receive it. Amen. Just receive it. It's here. It's poured out. It's been poured out for almost 2,000 years. Just receive it. Just say, I believe, Lord. Amen. Just receive it. God wants you to have it. He promised it. He's already, he can't do any more than He's already done. If the Lord could pour it on you, would, but it's already on you. You just need to get it in you. It's all around you. You walk in it. You breathe it. You live in it. Just go ahead and receive it. Open up. Receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's demonstrated faith. It's, Lord, I receive. Amen. Yield everything. Amen. Just give it all to Jesus. And if let's stand together tonight. Practical faith. Practical faith. Practical faith. Amen. Practical faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Demonstrating faith. faith you can demonstrate. That's practical faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you're walking in the dark and you've got a flashlight in your hand, you know what the smart thing is to do? Turn it on. Amen. But if you got a flashlight and you hadn't turned it on, it's not going to do you much good, is it? You carry a flashlight if you don't turn it on. Amen. And so that you demonstrate, you just turn it on. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you demonstrate faith in God tonight? You trust Him. You believe Him. You praise Him. You worship Him. You live for Him. Amen. You just do what He said. You go to church. You worship when you get there. And then you praise God. Oh, that's just demonstrating faith. Demonstrating faith. Praise the Lord. Well, what if I don't feel like it? What's that got to do with it? Amen. It's not about your feelings. It's about your faith. Just keep demonstrating it. Demonstrating it. Amen. God, hey, I do believe You. I do believe You. Amen. I'm going to believe Your word. I can either believe my word or Your word. I'm going to believe Yours. I can believe what people say or I can believe what You say. I'm going to believe what You say, God. Straight my faith. Just demonstrate it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody here tonight, you may be dealing with some things and you may be in a battle. You may be struggling with some things, but I'm telling you tonight, just demonstrate your faith. Just the Bible said, when you've done all to stand therefore. Amen. And then you stand with the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The sword of faith, and the shield, and you just stand. You're guarded. You just keep standing, believing. Praise the Lord, and God comes through. He doesn't fail. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody want to demonstrate some faith here tonight? If you haven't repented, you need to. If you haven't been baptized, this would be a good time. Amen. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you certainly can just receive it tonight. Amen. In this house, the presence of the Lord is here. God is present to do some things here for us tonight. I invite you to come. Amen. I invite you to come. Here's an altar. If you'd like to come spend some time with the Lord.